Welcome back to CKUT's Long-Term Memory Radio on gender and school. To get to the bottom of where young people were learning their gender conceptions from, we took our mics to the street, Saint Laurent Street, on a Saturday night.
What is a boy?
A boy is
being
that has the organ of a penis.
Anything else?
Not in my books.
Well, what's a woman?
A woman is a lady, a person with a vagina.
Anything else? Just a vagina.
Just a vagina.
What if you're only a vagina? What if you have no upper torso and you're just a vagina? What are you?
Then you're not a person. I mean, like, a person encompasses a soul, a heart, a personality, charisma, a soul.
Okay, so what's a woman?
What's a man?
What is a man?
I don't
know. What's a man for you?
These are like pretty, I don't know, are they simple questions or not?
Honestly, what's a man?
What was that?
He's the superior gender.
What makes him the superior gender?
Him being a man.
And she forgives you for stupid things that you do. And she's really nice and pretty. And she shows up at like an unexpected time and she takes you under her wing. And she tries to make you good, even though you're really bad.
Okay, what is a boy to you?
To me?
Yeah.
Courageous. Full of determination. A girl, lovely, caring.
You will now hear an interview with Michelle and Jake, two members of Queer McGill, at McGill University in Montreal.
I'm Michelle Markman. I'm co-administrator of Queer McGill.
I'm Jake Salmoshi. I volunteer with Queer McGill.
Maybe we could just start off really basically explaining what exactly Queer McGill is and the different kinds of services that it offers to students here at McGill.
Okay. Well, Queer McGill is a student service, which is really great. It's not just a club. We are recognized as something that is needed for students. We offer discussion groups, visibility, which is really important, events, and we do take part in quite a bit of political action. So that's mainly what we do. We have also a queer support phone line called Queerline, which is helpful for people who need confidentiality. And that's pretty good.
You can jump in whenever you want. Otherwise, I'll just keep asking questions. Why is something like Queer McGill necessary at this kind of university or at any university?
I think that the default assumption here and in most places is that people are straight and that people fit into a gender binary. And if you don't, and if you aren't straight, then you can start to feel invisible and start to feel. And it's not so much a question of active hatred, or at least here, I find not so much a question of active hatred or discrimination, and more just a question of feeling invisible and feeling like there's just nothing here that you can relate to or that you can connect to. And I think that having Queer McGill as a service and having us be visible and having Pride Week and the Homo Hops and having our political activities and our discussion groups and having Queerline exist makes it more possible for people to be comfortable with themselves, to not feel like they're alone in the world, to not feel like they can't come out or if they want to or whatever. It's just a place where you know that to be who you are is an okay thing to be, and you're safe there, and people aren't going to assume things about you and say things that would reflect badly on you.
I mean, would you say that Queer McGill, as a service here at this school, has had an impact in the time of its existence in terms of shaping the atmosphere here?
I would definitely say yes. I think we also provide a lot of exposure to the students at large in the school, which is really important, I think visibility-wise and amongst other things. at a university, people are able to understand the diversity of life and between people. So exposure is really important in that way. I don't know what else we've done.
Yeah. I think it's interesting that you've both brought up the idea of visibility. Maybe we could talk about the danger of being invisible, on the other hand, and what is the danger inherent in that for queer youth?
Well, I'll throw in a personal experience here. My experience at McDonald campus was probably the first time I ever felt truly and utterly isolated, because I grew up in a city with the youth group, which was great. And then I came to McGill, but was at the agricultural campus, where there is not a single rainbow flag in the space, or any recognition that my sexuality or who that part of me is exists at all. So there's a lack of recognition, and that actually makes you just feel alone and isolated, and it can be very emotionally trying. It's just hard. I mean, you just kind of think about, you know, how am I going to live that part of my life? Or, you know, why does everybody assume that I'm something that I'm not? And it can be detrimental. So
it can also, I think, make you, to a certain extent, depending on your personality, make you question the validity of your identity and of what you like to do or who you see yourself as, and make you start to wonder if there's something wrong with you, or if, you know, you're always going to be alone, and it can be very harmful to you in that way.
And now that we've started to touch on, issues of homophobia and heterosexism within McGill, how widespread would you say that these problems are here at this school?
I'm going to add transphobia into that list. I feel like the queer McGill or McGill overall, like it sort of has a bit of a, it feels sometimes just like a nice little safe bubble to live within, because we do have a good community here, and you know, you can walk around and see a lot of people that you know, and like you feel recognized, and you have this sense of community and not aloneness, togetherness. But overall, I mean, that exists everywhere. I would say, I don't know.
I think that it also depends on, I mean, the degree of your involvement in Queer McGill. Mm-hmm. I know that I sort of feel like I have two lives. I have my Queer McGill friends who I hang out with and am totally comfortable with, and I spend time here. And then I have my people who I, because I do a minor in math, and people I know through there. And I noticed that basically outside of Queer McGill and a few departments that are really queer positive, you get a lot of, I won't, like, not hatred, not necessarily homophobia, as much as just heterocentrism and just this, and for lack of a better word, gender binarism, that people just make these assumptions about you or make comments that sort of assume that queers don't exist. And I think it's as widespread here as it is, you know, in society in general, but you sort of have this haven of Queer McGill, and it sort of expands. So, like, we've got Pride Week right now, so there's sort of, you can see the flag, and you can see the sort of tentacles of queerness sort of going out over the community. But it really feels like a contrast between sort of, this is the Queer McGill thing, where you know that these assumptions aren't going to be made, versus this is the rest of McGill, where people assume that you're straight, where people assume that your gender matches up with your whatever you look like, where people assume that, you know, you don't engage in whatever behaviors or participate in whatever communities.
I'd just like to add that I think as well, like, like Queer McGill and McGill, like, we exist within a world that is, that runs by the assumptions of straightness and gender binary. So it's hard to avoid, and there's a lot of people around who do that. And most people do. It's hard not to sometimes. So, it's definitely there.
The idea of assuming that someone is straight I find interesting, because some people might not see that as an overt discriminatory practice. So what exactly is the problem inherent in there with that assumption?
Well, I think the biggest problem is that it contributes to the invisibility of queer people. I mean, it sort of contributes to and is a symptom of invisibility of queer people. And it, I mean, it's never fun to have people make assumptions about you that aren't true. And it's especially not fun when you already feel like you're part of a community that could be discriminated against or that is discriminated against in other contexts. to then feel, I sort of get the impression that when people assume that you're straight, and then if you correct them or somehow make it obvious that you're not, like, their opinion about you shifts somehow. You can get... There's sometimes a feeling of, oh, you're lesser because of that, or you're not who I thought you were. You know, the personality that I thought you had, all of a sudden I'm seeing in a different light. Whereas I think that if we could just cut it off at the start and just say, you know, just not make assumptions about people's sexual orientations, then this whole, like... I mean, the coming out process is a scary one, and it would be nice if people just sort of didn't have to.
And I think the same thing, too. An assumption denotes normalcy. Like, this is what's normal, so this is who people are, and that's what they are. And I think it's something that I've learned to do a lot less. It's still really hard. Even people who are active members of Queer McGill, I can't assume what their sexual orientation or gender are. And I've learned that time and time again with my work with them. It's something, and you can't assume anything about anyone, really, about what being queer makes them or anything like that. So yeah.
So maybe one thing that we could talk about was, because this documentary is about, you know, gender and school, maybe you both could speak a bit to how being, you know, queer youth shaped your experience coming through whatever kind of school systems you came through and coming into McGill.
I can talk a bit about my experience. I think my experience is fairly non-standard. I went to a feminist all-girls high school, so it was, there was very little to nothing in the way of homophobia and even really heterocentrism. It was just a good place to be. I came out as bisexual when I was 13 at that school, 13 or 14.
Which school was this exactly?
It was called the Linden School in Toronto. It was just sort of a good place to be. You never heard any comments. You never heard any sort of discrimination. And I sort of remember having friends who were going to other schools and the comments that they would make and the things that I would overhear as I'd walk by that just sort of didn't make any sense to me, didn't compute given the context of where I was growing up. It was sort of interesting to be in an all-girls school, especially towards the end when I was sort of questioning my own gender identity and my own sort of, do I identify as a woman, do I identify as a girl, what does that mean? And to sort of come out of it later, and my last year of high school was at a different school, and then to be coming here, and to sort of be thinking to myself, well, I don't really identify as a girl, and I don't really see myself in terms of gender at all. I don't know, you know, what did that mean to me in terms of having been at an all-girls school? I mean, it's still sort of an interesting question, and I think that the having been at the school was very good for me. And I don't regret it, and I don't feel that it in any way invalidates who I am or how I see myself. But it was sort of something interesting that I had to think about as I was developing that identity.
Okay. I would say that I feel personally exceptionally lucky for my youth. I was I went to a Catholic high school, and... But I was lucky enough to live in a city where they had a youth group. And I found myself there. You know, I found my recognition and my camaraderie and companionship that I needed, and friends who knew who I was or who were able to share that experience with me. I did leave my Catholic high school the moment I could for grade 11. Definitely went down the street to the public high school afterwards because it was more accepting. And I felt much more comfortable amongst the people there. There was a lot more queerness happening, and that was good. But I would say a lot of the people, like, do face a lot of problems, like, with the people that I knew. Like, some people are kicked out. Some people's parents couldn't sit at the front of the congregation and Jehovah's Witnesses because their kid was gay. You know, face being, like, having to deal with getting your own apartment and you're 17 years old. Things like that, you know, and I was lucky enough to be okay and to have the things that I needed. But I really realized that a lot of people around me didn't. So that's why we needed to help each other and be together within a youth group, which is a fundamental. And actually, since I believe that that city no longer has one, which scares me, because I have a friend from there and he didn't have the youth group when he was going through it. And, you know, he faced so many things, just like being sent to how to become not gay school, you know, like therapy and all those things. And his parents tried to make him not gay for a really long time, which is unbelievably detrimental to people, to a person. So, I mean, there's certain things that community should have, and a youth group is really important.
How was coming to McGill for yourself as an outed person?
I think I mentioned before, being at the other campus, I was shocked and appalled because that there was nothing there, that there was no group at all. Because everywhere I go, the first thing that I am used to doing is like, oh, find the queer group. And then you join and you have people that you can talk to and recognize and go out together and meet and have a community and have, you know, other people who are like you. But I was just appalled that there wasn't one there, and it took me forever. I was just like, oh my God. And then spent a year in somewhat of agony because of it. And then the next year proceeded to start a group at that school, which was empowering and good. And that's something that people can do, which is also a great thing. There's a lot of people or individuals within a high school who will start their own group just because they need it. So that's what I did. And it's good. And I've realized all the people around me, because I felt alone. And since then, all the people, I realized how much I wasn't alone, because then there was like, you know, 10 of us. And you're like, whoa, cool. But that was the time at McDonald campus, and since then, working with Corey McGill has been fabulous, amazing, wonderful. I could never ask for anything more wonderful than working with Corey McGill.
I think I've been reasonably lucky. I mean, I've certainly been extremely lucky in terms of my youth and in terms of the people that I first met when I came here. Like Michelle, my habit is to come someone, and the first thing is find the queer group. So activities night of my first year, I was like, I think I'd seen stickers or posters for Queer McGill or Queer Line and whatever, and I was like, I'm going to find these people. And I went to activities night, and the first thing I did was, like, went to the Queer McGill table. I was like, I want to volunteer. I want to join this organization. I want to sign up. And they took my name down. And so I've been with them for 3.5 years. But coming here, I also was lucky in that I was actually spending most of my time, I was in math and physics at the time, and socializing primarily with the engineers. And it was sort of an interesting, the people who I was very close friends with, I was very lucky. I just happened to get an apartment right next door. I lived in Moore in the McGill off-campus residence experience. And happened to live right next door to a woman who was extremely queer positive and identifies as queer, and was so there was no like assumptions about what my sexuality meant from her, and we ended up being very close friends. And sort of the group that we hung out with was always very respectful and very accepting. The sort of smaller group, the people at large, and I don't want to say this about engineers in general or mathematicians in general, because I think it's a problem that is just there, except in very sort of, I think the exception is the queer positive space rather than the hetero sexist space. So I don't want to say this about the engineers and have people assume it's just the engineers, because it isn't. But the problem was, I mean, I never got any outright hatred, but I got a lot of like, oh, you like girls too? Let's check out Girls Together. You know, can we watch? Like that sort of really gross attitudes. And I got sort of... I mean, again, there was the problem of invisibility. People just assumed that I was straight. And I came here, like, I came here out. I had already come out to pretty much everyone I knew at home. It was sort of a well-known fact among my friends that I was queer. And I came here just sort of feeling like I could assume that I was queer and I wouldn't have to, you know, sit people down and explain it to them. And by and large, that was true, but there were exceptions. And there were people who... And I don't, you know, you don't always have the energy to walk people through the process of what does it mean to be queer and what does it mean to be gender variant. And so there were a lot of times when I just sort of hid in the role of the straight girl and was just like, yes, I'm female. Yes, I have sex with men. You're assuming that that defines who I am. Okay, go nuts. I don't really want to talk about it. But... that's really, really, really exhausting. And that's sort of why I wanted to come to Queer McGill and why my sort of energy went more and more towards spending time with Queer McGill was because spending time among people who are making these assumptions about you and who think that they have you pegged and who ask you questions with presuppositions that just don't apply to you... I mean, it's just really tiring to be constantly misunderstood.
You've been listening to CKUT's Long-Term Memory Radio, produced by the CKUT Community News Collective. Be sure to tune in next Wednesday between 5 and 6 p.m. for the second part of this documentary, as we will look at empowerment strategies for queer and transgender youth in school.